Welcome to this week's edition of Everything Fast Pitch by Fast Pitch Prep. Coach Don and I are here in the Cherokee Batting Range podcast studio getting ready to record episode number 296. Don, we're sneaking up on 300.
That's going to be awesome.
It's crazy. We got a fun show lined up for you this week. In our warm-up segment, we're going to talk about our city of the week, player of the week, equipment tip of the week, have a great did you know, a fun listener question, and of course, Paige's power play. In our leadoff segment, we're going to talk about an email I got from Coach Zach and his question was about a player who performs in different ways and to different levels, whether it's game day or practice day, and some questions that he had about that player. In our cleanup topic, we're going to talk about something that's a little bit different. We're going to talk about club softball in college because, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about recruiting, but there is another avenue for players that want to continue to play at the college level that might also fit their needs a little bit. And then our Action Coach coaching tip of the week, Coach John's going to talk about unseen leaders in the world of business and the world of softball. So before we get into all that fun stuff, let's talk about our sponsors. First, the Anderson Bat Company. Everything Fast Pitch is very proud to have Anderson Bat Company as our presenting sponsor. Anderson Bat Company is using the latest and greatest bat technology to corner the market in the fast pitch world. They have the -9 Rocket Tech, the -10 Carbon, and the -11 Carbon Light. Anderson Bat Company is using this technology to put a high-performing bat in the hands of hitters that really know the difference between a good bat and a great bat. We're also working with Anderson to provide a discount for all of our listeners. Go to the Anderson Bat Company website and order your bats. Use the EFP20 discount, which is for Everything Fast Pitch, and you'll get a 20% discount. And again, make sure you take advantage of that EFP20 discount. It's a great way for you to save that additional 20% and also help support the podcast at the same time. You know, I think Anderson is top shelf. Everything that they have on the market, I strongly, strongly recommend. And obviously, if you can save a little bit of extra money on something that's already a very affordable high-end product, I think it's a win-win for everybody. Also, let's talk about patreon.com/everythingfastpitch. If you're in a position where you can, I know with the holidays and Christmas and all that stuff, everything gets a little bit tight. But if you're in a position where you can, we would love the support if you can become a patron. We're talking about $5, $10, or $20 a month. And we've got a great group of patrons that have been supporting us for a long time. We certainly do appreciate them. You know, it's the thing that has kept this podcast alive as long as it has and gives us hope for the future. But if you see value in what we're doing, if you want to be able to help us keep the podcast moving forward, please make sure you go to patreon.com/everythingfastpitch. It'll take you through the steps. It's a pretty easy system, and we certainly do appreciate the support and would love to see some more people come on board. So, Don, let's talk about Magic Mind. We've been using Magic Mind now for a little bit. The one thing that I keep coming back to and I keep noticing is that it's sort of that instant boost in the morning. You know, I used to dive in and have, a big old Mountain Dew was my coffee of the morning. I know for you, coffee is your coffee of the morning.
Coffee is my coffee. Yeah.
Now that Magic Mind is on my agenda, take that one little shot of energy and focus and everything, and my day just starts off on a better track. I feel much more focused. I feel like I'm getting more stuff done. I've talked in the past a lot about the whole old man brain where, I walk across the room and forget why I started walking and what it is I actually was going to get. That's improving drastically. And, the only thing that's really changed in my life at all is starting to use Magic Mind. And so I'm totally convinced. I know, very excited that they're supporting the podcast, but I really do believe in what they're doing. And it's a really good addition to my life. I've been the skeptic. I've never been somebody who thought if you take a shot of one thing, a drink of one thing, it's going to make a difference. But I have to admit that Magic Mind is convincing me that there are some products out there, and this is definitely one that's going to go a long way towards making you feel a whole lot better about what you're trying to get done. So go ahead and get yourself started with Magic Mind. You can go to their website. It's www.magicmind.com/fastpitch. You'll enter the discount code of FASTPITCH20, and that's going to save you on that initial order. They also offer a subscription program so you can have it in your routine and not have to worry about reordering it all the time. So, Don, that's going to take us to our warm-up segment. Our warm-up segment is sponsored by Bittinger & Stiles DDS. They're located in Webster, Mass. If you're in that area, you have any dental needs at all, reach out to the folks at Bittinger & Stiles. They'll take good care of you. They are longtime supporters of this podcast. I think one of the very first people that came on board as a patron and then as an advertiser. And we certainly do appreciate their support and would love for you to support them if you can. So our city of the week this week, Don, is Menifee, California.
California plays so much softball, Tori. I'm excited anytime we're getting a bunch of listeners because I know they're into it.
One thing that you know, we've talked about a lot recently is, you know, the whole softball hotbed thing, and that there's certain parts of the country where softball is just a big deal. In some places it has been a big deal for a long time. Other places that it's kind of been gaining momentum and getting stronger and stronger. But the state of California, obviously,
they were like the original.
Yeah, and up and down the state, you know, there are certain areas that are just absolute softball hotbeds. There's other places where it's still really good, just maybe not quite the same as some other parts of the state. But, you know, when you look at the number of California players that are playing at the college level, you know, on the Olympic teams and stuff like that, obviously, you know, the talent pool is pretty deep. And so, you know, we're excited to see the numbers jump in Menifee. It's, you know, important to us that our listeners share the podcast with other people. You know, the biggest benefit we have is having loyal people that that like the podcast, that spread the word. And every time that happens, we see the numbers jump. It's always because somebody is sharing it. You know, maybe it's, you know, somebody, a coach tells their team and the parents start listening. Maybe it's an organization sends something out and says, hey, you know, we found this podcast. It's got, you know, got a lot of value. Go ahead and listen to it. But we're always excited when we see that. So we're always reminding you to find people in your world that are Fast Pitch fans, that love the game the way you do, and turn them on to the Everything Fast Pitch podcast or the Coach Prep podcast. And I'm confident once they listen that they'll keep coming back. But it's exciting to us to see the numbers growing and jumping up. And obviously, we want to say thanks to the folks in Menifee, California, for being the city of the week.
Please keep sharing.
Absolutely. So, Don, our player of the week this week is Reagan Crane, and she's from Navarre, Florida. Her coach, Lael, wanted to nominate her because she was one of those players that put the team first, stepped up in a really tough situation, and contributed to their team being successful. She's a 13-year-old player, but she's playing on a 16U team. And they were playing in a tournament not too long ago, and their number one catcher was injured. And that injury forced them to scramble mode.
Shift things around.
And,
yeah.
And Reagan was the player that that shifted in and became the catcher, the emergency catcher, really something that she had not done, had very little to no experience with.
Great.
You know, threw on the gear and went back there and did the best she could and helped her team have a chance to be successful. You know, anytime we talk about the player of the week, we're always, you know, looking for different qualities and different things that we're going to recognize. And to me, you know, it's always easy to get excited when somebody hits their first ever home run or a pitcher throws a perfect game or whatever. But the nuts and bolts kinds of kids, the ones that are grinding it out, doing what it takes to be successful, that are willing to do whatever it takes for their team to be successful, that's really the player I want us to recognize as much as we possibly can. And obviously in a situation, you know, like this one, where a player, you know, puts the team first, you know, accepts the responsibility. Because, Don,
it's tough as a younger player too, Tori, so that's great.
Right, and as a catcher, you know better than most, and anybody that's never, they call it the tools of ignorance. I mean, when they talk about catching gear, there's kind of a joke in that the tools of ignorance piece comes from the fact that you're signing up to get hit, get banged into, get knocked around.
I'm glad it worked out good for Reagan because I've seen it go the other way too. It's
right.
Tough. It's not that easy.
Yeah. And it's one of those positions without much experience playing it is not something that's easy to do. And I think, whenever you read the posts on Facebook for all these teams looking for players, they're all looking for pitchers and they're all looking for catchers.
Crazy catcher.
Yeah. And yeah. The catching position is in that grouping, I think, because it is so challenging and so demanding. And so anytime we get to recognize a player who's, you're going to do whatever it takes to help their team be successful, we want to make sure that we're paying attention to it. So congratulations to Reagan Crane. You're the Fast Pitch Prep Player of the Week. If you have a player in your life you would like to nominate, please reach out to us. It's
a quick email, right?
Yeah, it's very simple to do. everythingfastpitch@gmail.com or fastpitchprep@gmail.com. 2-3-4 sentences, just a quick little thumbnail sketch about what it is that player did that you want recognized. And then Coach Don and I would love to add those players to the list of candidates.
Makes it fun.
We've always been on this roller coaster where we go from, you know, a bunch of nominations to no nominations. And right now we've been in a pretty good stretch where there's been a nomination or two every week. But we want to keep that going. And, you know, call to arms and call to action is really pretty simple. Everybody who listens to this podcast knows a player
who's somebody worthy. Yeah.
I mean, every single one of you has a player in your life that's worthy of nomination. And so we want you to take the time, send us that email, let Coach Don and I figure out who we're going to recognize. And I think one thing that happens periodically is somebody tries to be the judge and jury about whether what their daughter or their player or the girl on their team or their teammate did, well, is that good enough? Well, let us figure that out.
Yeah,
it is. And it probably will be. So again, want to say, you know, congratulations to Reagan, and make sure that you send those nominations in. Everything fastpitch@gmail.com or fastpitchprep@gmail.com. So, Don, let's talk about our equipment tip of the week, the Square Cuts training discs.
Tori, the discs have been great, and I know we say it every week, and we use them all the time. It's a good product. It's something that if you don't have a set, you need one, and now's the perfect time to get it right here before Christmas. Ideal gift. I think we still maybe have enough time to get them to everybody.
Yeah, I think we're right up against it to get them out there.
This might be the last announcement, but yeah.
At least for Christmas time.
Yeah, if you can, or even a get started in the new year gift if it doesn't happen that quickly. But if you're a coach, you need them for your team. If you're at home and you need a training tool, this is the one. You got to get them.
Right. Well, when we came up with the Square Cuts training discs, we knew we were coming up with something we felt really confident about from a hitter's perspective. The thing that I was really shocked by is how people took the discs and adapted it to other parts of the game, which is really exciting. If you go to our website, fastpitchprep.com, you can go to the YouTube channel. There's a couple of short little videos on there that kind of demonstrate what the idea of the Square Cuts is, how it's meant to be used. And the thing that I really like about it is it's something that a player can use at home that gives them instant feedback. And you know, we always talk about, you know, the kids out in the garage taking their 50 or 100 swings a day. Well, I think that if they would spend some of that time working with the Square Cuts training disc so they can actually see how well they're hitting the ball and if they are truly square to the face of the ball when they hit it, I think that would have a huge impact.
This is spice it up a little bit.
Right.
A little variety.
And also, you know, it probably keep a little bit more peace and quiet around the house because they don't make quite as much noise as banging on a real softball.
Ping, ping.
And it's also very durable. So you go to the fastpitchprep.com website to order them. They're $49.95 a dozen. Very durable. And again, it's a great at-home training tool. It's a great tool to use at practice because, again, it's something that you can set up that your players can do where a coach doesn't have to be standing there watching every single swing to give feedback. You know, the disc itself is that tattletale. It's going to give you the feedback that you need. And it's, a fun way to have a little bit of variety. So get your Square Cuts training discs, fastpitchprep.com. And Coach Don and I are really proud of it. It's something we're really excited to share and certainly want to make sure that everybody gets a set. So Don, did you know the schedule's out for the big Clearwater tournament? You know, it's kind of the big kickoff event.
Yeah.
This year, again, an amazing field of teams: Kentucky, North Carolina, Stanford, Florida State, Georgia, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, UCLA, Texas, LSU, Northwestern. I mean, it's
fabulous.
Just a who's who of the top teams in the world of softball, all going to be convening in Clearwater, Florida on February 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. A ton of those games, I'm sure, are going to be on ESPN.
See those teams, Tori, all at once would be kind of magical.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And it's one of those events that if you have a way to get there for a day, but make sure you order your tickets in advance. This is not one of those you can walk right up to the gate and hope to get in kinds of events anymore. You know, the setting is really fun. It's a cool environment, but you know, it doesn't have tons and tons of unlimited seating space. And so, there's definitely a limit on how many people can get in there, but if you're have that opportunity at all, you know, it's some must-see softball. You can kind of move around from game to game and watch a lot of different teams and players that are just going to be fun and exciting to see. I'm very excited that George is playing down there. Our friends Sarah and Sydney. Sarah is now finally in her final year of
Sydney
softball.
As well.
You know, with all the COVID years and everything else, you know, it seems like Sarah has been playing softball at Georgia forever. I'm counting on her having a big final year and obviously getting a chance to play at the Clearwater Invitational is going to be a fun thing for her and her team. And so make sure you mark that on your schedule. If you can't go in person, like I said earlier, a bunch of those games are going to be on ESPN, and we want to support college softball on TV any chance we can because it's what keeps increasing the interest and driving the numbers and getting more and more games on. And so, again, did you know the schedule's out for the Clearwater Invitational? And it's another amazing tournament with nothing but really good teams and a lot of great games.
And the weather's going to be great there in February probably too.
Yeah. So, yeah. Don, that's going to take us to our listener question. The listener question is sponsored by Magic Mind. We talked about them at the beginning. Again, it's a product that we truly believe in, something that we think you're going to enjoy adding to your routine. It's going to make you sharper and feel better as you start your day and as you make your way through the day. So our listener question, Don, comes to us from Coach Lisa, and she's got a situation where she has a young player that is playing up in age. coaches of her travel team are encouraging her and really everyone else on the team to swing at least a 33-inch bat. And the player that that Lisa was asking about is a little bit smaller in stature. She's not, you know, quite the typical kid who you would picture swinging a bat that size. And she's under 5 feet tall. Obviously, you know, at 12 and under, she hasn't probably hit all her growth spurts and maturity stages
yet. Got all
her
strength yet. Yeah.
And so her question was, what did we think about that? And the whole question of bat sizing, reason I think this is so important is there's a lot of old wives' tales and, you know, well, my grandpa said do this, and that's how you know whether it's the right bat and all that kind of stuff. And my experience is that most of those really don't answer any questions at all. It's just, you know, it's just something that people say, you know, that we've been saying for a long time, thinking that it's an answer to a question, but it's really not.
Tori, I think we've kind of bounced this around a number of times, and I think it's always a good question to review, because to have a player in an optimum product or an optimum length and size, I think is important. I think that's something worth, we work so hard at all the skills and all the things that we do, that to have a bat that's too heavy or even one that's too light is kind of a shame either way. But to kind of make a blanket assessment over the whole group saying that they have to use or they encourage you to use one size only, I think is kind of a tough concept, because especially in this case, we're playing up, we're not quite at that same physical size yet, you know, that longer bat. We've talked about the 33 kind of being the technically usually the end game for most players.
Right.
And that's kind of an ideal size in the end. But again, I think that each of them are a little different in their skills, where they're at in their skills, and they need to be using a different bat when they're at those different levels.
Well, one of the fallacies that I think we have to keep reminding people of, because you know, I keep hearing this, is, well, if she gets a longer bat, that's going to help her cover the plate better. She'll be able to hit the outside pitch better. And you know, when I say that that's a fallacy, I mean that as strongly as I possibly can. Again, you know, the old wives' tale kinds of things. If a player is struggling to hit the outside pitch, a longer bat isn't really going to be the solution to that.
The sweet spot's the sweet spot. Right.
And if you're doing things correctly, if your swing is strong, if your body's in the right position, you can cover the entire plate with a lot smaller bat, you know, than people sometimes think. And so we talk about sizing kids, you know, to me, the challenge is, and I've always said, we want to find the heaviest, biggest bat that they can swing at their maximum bat speed.
That they can control.
And that's not going to be something that you're going to ever solve by saying, well, everybody on our team swings a whatever, and then that's the golden rule. Now, you know, when they get to be older players, you know, college age and you know, maybe, you know, 18 and under players, you know, I think you're going to see them all matriculating up into the 33-inch and some kids the 34-inch, even though we've talked about how the 34-inch is just a marketing tool, that it's not necessarily going to be the best bat for an awful lot of players either. But the idea that if we have a bigger bat, that gives us a bigger margin for error, that it's going to help us cover the plate better, that we're going to reach more pitches than we would otherwise. We're only talking about an inch, and if that inch really feels like it's making a difference, there's probably some deep-seated flaws in your swing that are
getting more covered up.
Yeah, they're more worthy of attention and something that you should be paying a lot more focus to than, well, if we get her a bigger bat, that's going to help. You know, I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, which was two lines. One line was heading over it. Picture the Department of Motor Vehicles. You know, you got one line that's like 400 people thick, and then you have another place where there should be a line, but there's, you know, just somebody sitting at the counter with nothing to do. And the person sitting at the counter with nothing to do was representing the practice more, work harder, get a better training routine. And the long line was buy a new bat.
The new bat, sure.
You know, and in this situation, they're not advocating that this player has to buy a new bat, but they're trying to advocate that this player should use the same bat as everybody else. And I just think that's a huge, huge mistake. I think we got to make sure that we're, as you said, tailoring it to fit each player's strengths. And for a player of this size, you know, obviously she's going to, you know, start to hit some growth spurts and things like that, and she might, you know, start to
work her way up a little bit. Yeah.
It to me, it's highly unlikely. I cannot think of, and I've worked with a lot of younger, smaller players, and I don't think I've seen any of them that, you know, that my first thought would be, hey, she needs a bigger bat.
And I want to, especially a younger player that's playing up, I want to encourage them to do everything they can to have success.
Right.
Because that's a neat venture, and they got to be brave and excited to be a part of that older group. And that might put them at a disadvantage even, right?
Yeah. When I think, if your bat's slowing down just so you can, you know, touch a pitch, I don't think we're doing much when we hit it anyhow. So I do appreciate Lisa bringing this one up, because I think it is something that we have talked about enough that sometimes I think we never need to bring it up again. But obviously,
there's a perfect bat for everybody.
Yeah, and we have new listeners all the time that haven't necessarily heard some of our older discussions. So tailoring the size and performance to each player is really the ticket. Any coach that's saying, well, everybody should be using this or that, I think is misguided, is maybe the nicest way to say it. I think sometimes it also indicates that, you know, maybe we need to, you know, update our knowledge base a little bit, look at some of the other factors that might be contributing to a potential perceived weakness in a player's hitting, and make sure we're addressing the right things. Right? And we're going to talk about this soon, that one of the biggest challenges that I keep seeing over and over again, and something that's added to my list of pet peeves of things that drive me crazy working with hitters so much, is that players, parents, coaches know something's not quite right, and they spend all their time trying to fix the wrong thing. And so instead of really finding out and working on a solution that really makes sense, you're always looking to slap a Band-Aid on something that somehow that's going to solve the problem. And in this case, the Band-Aid is bigger bat equals better plate coverage. Well, bigger bat means you can, you know, have a bigger bat, but it doesn't mean you're going to have any better plate coverage. Doesn't mean you're going to hit any of those pitches well. And in this case, I think it might definitely hold that player back. So, Lisa, again, thank you very much for the question. And we want to keep talking about stuff that you're interested in. So make sure you send us those listener questions, ideas, topics, suggestions to everything fastpitch@gmail.com or fastpitchprep@gmail.com. And Coach Don and I love having the interaction with our listeners because it gives us a chance to make sure we're talking about stuff that you're really interested in. And obviously, this was a fun topic. Don, that's going to take us to this week's edition of Paige's Power Play.
Hey, it's Paige here. I hope you're having a great week so far. I want to talk about not being afraid to go first, because I know it's scary to go first. I know it feels embarrassing to say the wrong thing, to give the wrong answer in class, to feel dumb for asking a question or messing up the drill at practice. I know it always feels scary to go first. But did you know, I think it is the coolest thing when a girl pushes her fear aside and steps up to volunteer, to go first. I think it says a lot about the person you are when you have the guts to just go first. I think it shows that you're a leader, that you're confident, you're brave, that you're a trailblazer, that you're courageous, and you can be those things. If you're constantly worried about your teammate, what your teammates will think, what your fellow students will think, what your coaches will think, or what everyone else is thinking, you're going to miss out. When you go first, you learn. When you ask questions, you learn. When you say the wrong thing, you learn. And by the way, who cares? I'm sure someone else was thinking it too, or wanting to ask that question too. So don't be afraid to go first. Step up, because the ones that go first go the furthest. And again, go to my website at paigetons.com, the freebies and the resources. Go grab that, download it. It's really easy. It's going to help you start shifting what you're saying to yourself and what you're telling yourself and building that confidence.
All right, folks, I know I say it every week, but Paige is a rock star. If you're not working with her, if you're not taking advantage of her programs, you're missing the boat. You know, we just talked about, you know, buy a $500 bat because it's going to make your kid hit better. Well, here's something, you know, to add to that, the discussion. If your player's struggling with her confidence, I don't care if she's got a $1 million bat, she's probably not going to hit. If she's, you know, uncomfortable, if she's unhappy, if she doesn't love the game as much as she used to, if she's struggling with her confidence, all those kinds of things, I don't care if she's got $1 million bat, she's not going to hit.
Paige will have some answers.
And Paige has definitely got some answers. So it's paigetons.com. And again, we love that she brings the, you know, nuggets to us every week, because every week she says something and talks about something that really is helpful and beneficial. But the real meat and potatoes are the programs. And we want to make sure that we keep encouraging you to go to her website, sign up for one of her mentoring programs. She's got all different kinds of things in the hopper, and all of them have different kinds of strengths that are going to apply to different players.
And Tori, being a part of any of Paige's programs also too kind of helps this stuff stick. You know, we can talk about it and touch on things and Like you said, the Nuggets are awesome, but being a part of the program is what's going to help these things last a long time.
Right.
So I think that's important to go and check it out.
Yeah. Well, my honest opinion is about 98% of the players playing this game need to work on their mental game.
That's the next piece.
And without it, we're always going to be wondering, searching, disappointed, frustrated, and all those things.
And we can kind of guide and encourage and help people think about the right things, but for it to stick and be something long-lasting for them, I think, is where these programs are going to be helpful.
Well, yeah. And the other thing, you know, with somebody like Paige, all of us are well-meaning, you know, at some point
she's
in time,
gone through it.
She's been there, done that. She can talk about when she struggled with her confidence and how she overcame it. She can talk about barely being able to hang on the team and then becoming a major player. You know, she can talk about, you know, overcoming adversity and stuff like that. For a lot of these players, you know, listening to your dad try to tell you, well, just be confident, you know, just believe in yourself. You know, that's a whole different thing. You know, and your dad says it and he means it. He's trying to do the best he can. But listening to a player that's been in the trenches and knows all about it, to me, that's a bigger deal.
Sure.
All right. So, Don, that's going to take us to our leadoff segment. Leadoff is sponsored by Elite Sporting Goods. They're located at 905 Grayson Highway in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Phone number there is 678-377-0270. You can also contact them at elitesportsorders@yahoo.com. Anything you need, bats, balls, gloves, uniforms. You know, I've been talking about the new machine that they have now for creating transfers and logos and stuff like that.
Time for us to get our spirit wear, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to be late in spring.
You know, to me, the thing that I liked about it was that it gives you the flexibility of coming up with something that's really creative. They were doing a t-shirt the other day that I think had 10 or 11 colors in it.
Wow.
And when you think about doing that on traditional screen printing, you know, an 11 screen
ten swipes.
Yeah, each shirt's going to probably cost you $40. When you can get something that looks that cool, that doesn't have to be, you know, price prohibitive,
process,
I think it's a pretty cool
much.
Thing. So contact the folks at Elite. They're happy to ship anywhere in the country. So now I got another one. This one came to us from Coach Zach. Got a fairly new travel team, and they've had a lot of successes, you know, for a startup kind of program, so a team that's only been around for a little bit. But his question is really pretty specific. Is one of our top players and leaders of the team is not the best practice player. She works hard. She does all the things the coaches ask her, but you can tell she gets bored at times, which then turns into laziness and occasional sloppy play during practices, and then it can lead to other players, of course, potentially following suit.
Yeah.
You know, once the game starts, she's an entirely different person. 110% effort, flawless execution, vocal and supportive. You know, you can count on her to come through. You know, so she's kind of infectious and positive, you know, on game day and does all the things in that setting. And Coach Zach's question is, what can we do to, you know, help her see the value in being that same A-plus personality on practice day that she is when she shows up on game day?
Tori, that's a good one because, again, we want for this particular player to also be all she can be. And
right.
So we got to sell on her the whole concept of, you know, how good she might end up in the end if she does all these things and does them 100%, because we know, having seen it and watched and been around it a long time, just life in general, but we know that if they are leaving something in the bag at practice, that eventually it's going to become a bigger thing than it is. Rub off on others in a good way thing to me is almost even more important than, you know, whether they take advantage of their opportunities to grow. But if they're going to rub off in a negative way on the rest of the team in any way, it sounds like she's kind of right in between.
Right.
She's still doing it. She's still being positive, but maybe just not giving 100% in practice because she's been able to do that.
Right.
She's been that much better than everybody, or she's had that much success that has got it done for her.
Right.
But if she was around a bunch of other players exactly like her, then she might find the interest in making it happen all the time,
right?
Because it sounds like she could be quite a player.
Yeah. And, well, the challenge to me is, especially with younger players, is sometimes helping them understand, you know, the bigger picture can be a pretty challenging project.
They haven't seen it.
Yeah. They haven't got the experience yet. They don't, you know for sure what the bigger picture looks like.
And I'm still good on game day.
And again, the setting I think has so much to do with it. So the first thing I would be doing, Coach Zach, is trying to appeal to her knowledge and common sense and intelligence, and having the discussion starting off with, well, you know, have you ever noticed that, you know, when you're super excited and pumped up and enthusiastic at games on game day, that everybody follows your lead and everybody, you know, really gets hyped up and they play better and they perform better and they try to, you know, to live up to the example you're setting. And then on some days at practice, maybe you don't have quite as much enthusiasm and how people kind of follow that too. And, you know, kind of, you know, tap into the, you know, we want you to be a leader. We need you to be a leader. You know, you clearly have the ability to lead this team. You know, let's start to think about the impact that you're having and see if we can't, you know, appeal to her common sense a little bit and her desire for the team to be successful and help her to see that, you know, maybe she's got a bigger impact and could have a much larger impact on the whole team. Because I think one of the things that happens, you know, the player in this situation, because they're talented, they don't necessarily have to always work that hard, but at the level that they're at, they still have success because they're just talented, right? They're just naturally gifted. And so, you know, they can turn it up a notch on game day and they haven't necessarily gotten everything out of practices, but because they're naturally talented, they just have enough success that they think that that's okay.
But everyone else will think that too, right?
Right. And that's the next layer of this, you know, having this conversation, trying to help her understand her importance as a leader, you know, just, you know, be as honest as you can. So, you know, do you think it, you know, that all the players on our team can just show up on game day and be successful? Or do you think it'd be better if more of them worked harder at practice and got more out of our practices and learned some things in practice that would maybe help them play better on game day? You know, I think even a 12-year-old, 13-year-old player is certainly smart enough to look around and go, well, okay, you know, there's players on our team that, you know, really do need to probably practice a little bit more. Maybe it would help them if they were getting a little bit more out of practices. And again, trying to appeal to that.
To her good senses.
Yeah, push that agenda as much as you possibly can. Because I think that, you know, all players like to be liked. Everybody wants to be respected. Everybody wants the people around them to think good things of them. And if you start to have that kind of conversation, try to set some of those expectations, that most players want to rise to them. But I think one of the challenges is sometimes we just think that it's common sense, like everybody should, you know, should understand how this is important. How can she not know that it's a bad idea to get bored and get lazy and not practice hard? I mean, everybody knows that that's a negative thing, but, you know, common sense and common practice are definitely not the same thing. And so, you know, we need to just help her continually see the connection, and hopefully that will start to get things going in the right direction so that she'll start to show up at practice thinking of that as her opportunity to, you know, game
contribute.
It up and contribute to the team being more successful. The second thing is that at some point in time, all players are going to be in a position, if they want to keep playing, and definitely if they want to play at the college level, that how they work in practice and what their attitude about practice is going to be a huge factor in how much success they have and how much they get to play. You know, one of the things that I've railed about forever is, you know, the idea of, you know, the travel team that's got exactly the right number of players so that the kids all are guaranteed playing time. Well, to me, you know, that sets them up then for hardship later on with if they are lucky enough to be in a really successful competitive high school program.
It's time to compete.
Or if they're in a really successful competitive collegiate program, you know, the coaches don't just throw you out there in a game and if you get hits, you get to keep playing. They're going to watch what you're doing in practice. They're going to be evaluating your practice skills and your leadership and your performance on a day-to-day-to-day practice schedule. And then basing whether you're in the lineup or not on what they're seeing in practice. And again, I think that's, you know, one of the inherent problems with the small roster thing is, in this situation, I guarantee you, this player goes to the game every day and she knows she's the best player on the team.
Right.
Whether she works hard or not, guess what? She still knows she's the best player on the team. Well, and right now that's probably true, but 5 years from now, will it still be true? You know, when she's off to play in college, will that be true? And chances are then that's when her deep-seated habits and, you know, how hard she's practicing and how enthusiastic she is about practice is going to really tell the tale.
Well, I like a lot of the things that you're sharing there, Tori, because I think that it is important and they are going to excel to a point where they're around a lot of players that are very similar to them. And if they've got better work habits and better practice habits than you do, then they're going to end up with, you know, all the neat things.
Right.
They're going to get the playing time. They're going to get the awards. They're going to get the chance to move on to the next level. They're going to get all that stuff. And like you said, when you're recruiting somebody, you're not just watching what they do in the games. You're right. watching how they carry themselves, how they warm up. You're going to go to some practices. You're going to check it out. And if all of a sudden it's weird for you to work hard at practice, then, you know, I think we're going to be slipping and maybe miss an opportunity that we might have had a chance to, you know, shine with.
So, right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, again, you know, just to kind of keep this appeal to her common sense and her goals and, you know, her interest in helping herself become a better player, even at this age, she's probably still dreaming of and you know, watching these games on ESPN going, I'm going to play at Oklahoma or I'm going to play at Florida or I'm going to play at UCLA. Well, if, you know, we can start to help her understand that, well, that's great. You know, dreaming those dreams and having those goals is a beautiful thing. But when you get there, here's what you're going to have to be able to do. And the more you practice it now, the better you get at it now. Good habits, bad habits, either one, you know,
we're forming them
and we create them. And, you know, why spend, you know, a whole lot of time being unhappy later on trying to break a bad habit when you can just start on the right track and create a good habit?
And there's only one way to find out how good you can be.
Right. And it's not going to be just what your batting average is or how many hits you're getting on game day. There's a whole lot of other stuff. And again, just kind of bring this thing full circle. If a player has aspirations to play in college, they need to understand something without a shadow of a doubt. When they get to a college program, it's going to be the most competitive environment they've ever been in. It's going to be fighting tooth and nail, claw, you know, everything you can to get in the lineup because everybody else on the roster wants to play too. And if that's when you first start to figure out, well, if I don't practice well, I don't get to play, you know, it's going to be a lot more difficult. You know, I think you should, again, appeal to her individual goals a little bit too and use that as a way to help maybe motivate her to get after a little bit more because, you know, at some point in time, you don't know how to answer the bell if you don't know how to, you know, to show up at practice.
Dig in and go.
Yeah. Because I've had this discussion 100 times at least with players that have, you know, played for me. Coach, I'm a gamer. If you just put me in, I'll show you what I can do on game day. And my response has always been the same. Sweetheart, I watch you every day in practice. And until you start to turn practice into games, you're never going to get in a game. Because right now, the reason you're not playing as much as you want to.
There's a dozen others that are.
Yeah, is, you know, there's four other shortstops that show up like their hair's on fire every single practice and are diving and going all out and, you know, giving it 110% every single day. And you don't. Now, you might be talented enough to play great if I put you in a game, but your game is tomorrow at practice. You need to convince me tomorrow at practice that you're better than Sally or Mary or whoever else it is that you're fighting it out with for that starting spot. And until you can prove to me day in and day out that you're better than her, she's going to keep playing. Well, but coach, if you just give me, I'm not, you know, you can have a chance. You have to earn it.
At practice.
Your game is tomorrow at practice. We're going to start at 3:00. Convince me you want to win that game. The game within the game, and then maybe you'll get a chance to play on Saturday when we're playing against School X.
I like the message, Tori, very much.
All right. So, again, Coach Zach, thanks very much for the email. As we said earlier, everything fastpitch@gmail.com or fastpitchprep@gmail.com. Send us your questions, ideas, because we love talking about stuff like this that you're interested in. John, our cleanup topic is brought to us by Pinnacle Power Butter. Everything Fast Pitch is very proud to be sponsored by Pinnacle Power Butter. It's a nutritious snack that every athlete should have in their bag of tricks. It will allow you to get a great snack, something that's healthy and nutritious, all natural, and goes a long way towards making a ball player a better one.
And Tori, our listeners can get their Pinnacle Power Butter at pinnaclepowerbutter.com, and they can place their order there. Again, that's pinnaclepowerbutter.com. If they use their promo code of EFP10, they can also get a 10% discount. And we're really excited that they're on board with us. Products are great. We've used them and tried them at home. The whole family loves it.
Make sure you take advantage of that EFP10 discount. Again, it's a great way for you to support the podcast at the same time as saving on a great product that you're going to really enjoy. So had this thought the other day, Don, because we spent a lot of time talking about recruiting stuff. And, you know, a lot of the people in the travel ball world and as players progress through their careers have the goal of playing in college. And obviously, you know, being a college softball player is a great goal. It's something that we certainly would encourage everybody to chase after and something that we hope that every player who wants to, you know, accomplish that gets there at some point in time. But the reality of it is for some players and some athletes, as they get a little bit older, they get to the college decision point, maybe they don't like the idea of you know, having to be 100% committed to softball. They don't want to have to go to practice 6 days a week. They don't want it to feel like it's a full-time job within the full-time job of being a student. And so they still love the game. They still want to play, but the, you know, typical varsity program at a lot of universities just doesn't match up with where their mind is at that point in time.
Both. And sometimes, Tori, that's both for, like you said, the time commitment necessary to be a part of that program and, you know, maybe even the skill level.
Right. Something that has kind of flown under the radar, I think, for a long time, but something that is really successful and offered on an awful lot of college campuses, what's called club softball. So basically, it's a team of students that go to that school. And yes, they do practice some. They are going to play a limited schedule, you know, a number of games. But it's a way for people that really love softball, that really want to keep playing, that want to have the social aspects and the team aspects of being part of a program at the college level. But something that's going to be a little bit more laid back, not quite as much travel, not quite as you know, big
intense.
A time commitment.
Yeah.
Thing that I wanted us to talk about is I think an awful lot of people don't even know that club softball exists.
Right.
And some people are almost shocked or surprised to find out that, you know, if they decided to go to Georgia, but they're not quite talented enough or committed enough or have the time or whatever to, you know, to play on their varsity team, you know, which is a College World Series aspiring program, that they can still play softball at the University of Georgia, still have, you know, a lot of the benefits of being a softball player, you know, the teammates and the connection to the school and all that stuff by playing on that club team. And to me, it's something I want us to throw out there and make sure that our people are all considering, because I've had this discussion with two or three girls that I've worked with here in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, that they were chasing the big dream. They really thought that, you know, being a big time college softball player was what they wanted, what was their number one goal. And so they were investing a lot of time and energy and money and everything, you know, as a family and everything else to try to get recruited and try to play. Well, all of a sudden, halfway through their senior year, whatever it is, you know, maybe their passion has dwindled a little bit. Maybe their commitment is waning. And I've reminded all of them, well, you know what? Auburn, they have a club team.
Right.
You know, at Georgia, they have a club team. You know, at Kennesaw State, they have a club team. And they're like, well, what's a club team? I'm like, oh, okay. So there's a gap here between what the possibilities are. Now, you know, two of those players ended up choosing to try the club teams at the schools that they went to. The difference between being, you know, one of the players on the varsity Auburn team versus the Auburn club team is a pretty big difference, but it's still softball. You're still playing with a lot of other people that are like-minded, that, you know, have, you know, similar interests, but maybe the idea of a couple practices a week instead of every single day and, you know, getting to play a few games in the fall and a fairly, you know, light schedule, but still getting, you know, 20, 25 games in the spring. Sounds like it's right up their alley. It's something they really want to do. And it's been a real success story for some of the kids that I've worked with.
Yeah, Tori, no, I'm glad that you're making everybody aware of this, because I have too had a number of kids that wanted to play all the way through their high school softball careers, but after that wanted to intensely focus on their academics. And being really good softball players, they're like, you know, I hate to just stop playing.
Right.
And the club opportunity is really neat, because it, you know, gives them a chance to continue doing what they love, play softball, still have the time to chase their academic dreams, and then have kind of a neat little family, built-in family,
right,
already at a school where, you know, they may not really know anybody, or they might have a couple of people from their school that are going to school at the same school they've chosen, but you know, to have that built-in community right there,
yeah,
is a neat thing. And we're always excited when we get a chance to play some softball, for
right,
sure.
And it's, you know, again, it's a great way for you to, you know, keep playing at some level the game that
and
you've really
loved.
It's
pretty good softball.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You know, depending upon the school, and again, now, you know, just kind of put this in perspective, one of the stops on my coaching career, our school also had a club team. And 1 year, we had a player who was one of the best players on the club team had approached me about coming and trying out for the team. And she came, did a little 2-day tryout with us. And it was clear that she was talented enough that she might have made, you know, I would have kept her on the team.
Right.
But the reality of it was that she probably was, you know, if we had 20 players on the roster, she was probably going to be number 16, number 17. So, you know, the reality of
Game
it was
time.
She was going to have a lot of work, yeah, to do to crack that starting lineup. And, you know, we had had that discussion, and you know, she's like, well, you know, I think I'll just, you know, stick with the club team then, because, you know, I don't have to, you know, commit quite as much time to it. And, sure. and obviously, you know, but she really appreciated the opportunity to come and try out. Again, she was by far the best player on the club team, and she would have been, you know, not in that starting lineup, but talented enough that I would have liked to have kept her around
sure.
and see what would have happened. But again, you know, she was a junior at that point in time, and, you know, for her, the reality of, can I do something to crack the starting lineup in the time I have left just didn't make sense for her to...
Neat for her to find out. Right? Yeah.
But she knew for sure, too, so she was yeah. able to answer that question. Club softball is something that is a very strong, thriving thing. You know, there's an organization that offers, you know, tournaments and a national championship at the club level. An awful lot of schools have club softball. It's not just Division I schools. You know, there's a lot of other schools that have it. And if you're one of those kids that you've really loved playing the game and you don't want to give it up, but you just don't think you have it in you to commit to being a full-time varsity level player, check out the, you know, the website at the school, you know, do a little research and I think you might be pleasantly surprised to find that club softball is something that's available to you. And it still has that feel of representing the university. It's definitely a step up from, you know, playing in the rec league.
Because you go off to play other universities, right. club teams, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think it's got a lot of potential. So again, club softball, something in the college level that I want to make sure that everybody's aware of, because it might be the perfect opportunity for somebody to keep playing the game they love.
Check it out. Keep playing.
So Don, that's going to take us to this week's Action Coach Coaching Tip of the Week. Coach John's going to talk about the role of unseen leaders in business and the world of softball.
Hello, Coach John Davis here. Today I want to talk about unseen leadership. This occurred to me the other day coming back from a coaches meeting where we were talking about our schedule, our roster, and things we needed to do for the long term. And it was obvious to me then that many aren't aware of the things that coaches do behind the scenes. Many times parents and players only see what happens at practice and on the field. So I want to talk about unseen leadership using the example of the softball team. So what are some examples, right? As I mentioned, a coach's meeting, planning meetings, working on the schedule, working on the budgets, working on networking, calling college coaches, calling high school coaches, calling hitting coaches, pitching coaches, catching instructors, finding camps. And then, of course, there's learning. Going to the annual conferences, going to umpire meetings to learn what umpires are doing, networking with them. Those are all examples of unseen leadership by a softball coach. I'm sure most of you can understand that and can recognize those things. What about on your players? What can players do that's unseen leadership? Probably communicating with other teammates, making sure everyone on their team knows where to be and when to be there. Sometimes you can see it. It's in terms of moving equipment, or maybe it's helping somebody with a drill, taking that extra step to put balls on the tee or do soft toss or catch for somebody, particularly when it's not requested of them. That's unseen leadership. So what about in your business? What are some examples of business owners and business leaders? What do they do that's often not seen by the masses? Obviously, there's planning, there's goal setting, but often owners and business leaders are working on employee issues, things that aren't always problems, but are opportunities, or maybe an employee's going through a certain situation, a delicate situation is kept confidential. Many times, those issues and those engagements aren't seen. We're working with compensation and making sure that everybody is treated fairly and everybody's given a wage that's going to support what they need to be whole in their role. And of course, there's also making sure the employees get the right training that they need. So these are all examples of a business owner's unseen leadership. And let's talk about the employees. They're kind of like the players. They're working with their teammates, making sure everything gets done. There are people in your business that you know get it done day in and day out, whether you ask them or not. So my goal here is to see if you can find one example per day of unseen leadership in your teams, in your softball teams, or in your business. And I bet once you start looking, you'll probably find more like one an hour than one a day. Of course, you're also going to see some missed opportunities of unseen leadership, right? So when that happens, give some constructive feedback. This isn't a bashing. This is a, hey, there's an opportunity here for you to do such and such. How do you think that would change our organization? That's an example of some some minor feedback that can start to change some behaviors. Now imagine the impact this little activity could have on your team, your business, and on your personal attitude and psyche. I talk to a lot of business owners who are frustrated because they feel like they're doing everything all by themselves. And I believe if we focus on finding the unseen leadership in our team and our team members, both on a softball field and at work, we're going to start to realize all the good things that happen in our organizations. So I'm Coach John Davis. I work with business owners, working on their mindset, working on their structure so that they can build their business. If you know anybody who would benefit from a short discussion, we can have a 15-minute call. I can be reached at 817-538-8864. And then as I shared, anytime I work with a listener of Fast Pitch Prep, I make sure that the donation of those proceeds go to the Fast Pitch Prep and Everything Fast Pitch podcast. So, this is Coach John Davis with Action Coach. Now is always a great time to get in action.
So, Don, that's going to wrap up episode number 296. Please make sure you support our sponsors, the Anderson Bat Company, Magic Mind, Bidinger and Styles DDS, Elite Sporting Goods, Pinnacle Power Butter, and Action Coach. Consider becoming a patron if you can. Go to patreon.com/everythingfastpitch. Coach Don and I really do appreciate the support. Go to the fastpitchprep.com website, order your Square Cuts training discs there. We also have the YouTube channel and the blog post. There's tons and tons of information on our website that I think would be very beneficial for all of you. So for Coach Don McKinley and our producer, Stan Lewis, this is Coach Torrey saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.